Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week in our gospel lesson, we saw this encounter between Jesus and this Pharisee named Nicodemus. And the one incredible thing about that encounter was that Nicodemus was not your typical Pharisee. He actually wanted to listen to what Jesus said. And even though he struggled with what Jesus was saying, it wasn't a confrontational thing. In today's gospel lesson, we see this interaction between Jesus and our more typical Pharisees, the ones we hear about who are always seeming to be in conflict with Jesus and what he is doing and what he's saying. And as you're reading through the gospels and you see these interactions take place between Jesus and the religious leaders, I mean, it's almost like you're watching them build up this file of, you know, the offensive things that Jesus and his followers did and said. And these things that cropped up again and again, they would serve as the basis for their indictment against Jesus once they'd finally gotten him arrested and they had placed him on trial. Now, one of those things was said today by Jesus in this interchange where the Pharisees are coming and they're asking Jesus why he's allowing his disciples, in their minds, to break the Sabbath. And Jesus makes this remark, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And so this is what happened. Jesus and his disciples, they were walking through some grain fields on a Sabbath day. They were making their way to a synagogue for worship. And as they were going through the fields, the disciples were picking some of the heads of grain. They were rubbing them in their hands and eating them. They were doing this because they were hungry. The Pharisees saw that, and they considered what the disciples were doing, they considered that a type of harvesting, work that was forbidden on the Sabbath. And so they came up to Jesus and they asked him this question, "Teacher, why are you allowing your disciples break the Sabbath? Why are you allowing them to do what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day?" And in all of the discussions, the conversations, the arguments between Jesus and the Pharisees, what sits at the heart of all of those is that the Pharisees and Jesus, they have two very, very different ideas of what the heart of religion really is. And you see this in this conflict here about the Sabbath day. For the Pharisees, the heart of their religion is centered on them, on the things that they're doing or the things that they're supposed to avoid. You can consider religion for them as a big, long list, the things that they're supposed to do, or the things that they're supposed to avoid. But Jesus and the Scriptures, though, they paint a very different picture of what the heart of true religion is. Jesus and the Scriptures, the heart of true religion, it doesn't start with us. Yes, there are things that God wants us to do, and there are things that God wants us to avoid. But all of that is secondary. At the heart of true religion, according to Jesus, stands God and the promises that he gives to his people. Everything else that we do, everything else that we try to avoid in our lives, it all flows out of what God has first done for us. And so that's the center conflict at the heart of this problem that the Pharisees have with Jesus. So in order to make his case in answering the Pharisees, why is he allowing his disciples to do this? Jesus asked them a question. He says, "Haven't you read the Scriptures?" And before he gets into the scenario that he lays out, this first question, "Haven't you read the Scriptures?" should have been convicting for the Pharisees. What Jesus was really trying to do was to get them to peel away all the extra things that they had added to God's law, to see what God's original intention was for this Sabbath day, this day of rest. Because they'd made it into a burden. But it was never meant to be that. It was truly meant to be a day of rest, a blessing for God and for his people. And so in making his argument, Jesus points to another famous Israelite who broke another of God's laws. He says, "Haven't you read the Scriptures? Don't you remember what David did when he was hungry and his men were hungry, and they went into the house of God and they ate the consecrated bread, something that it was only lawful for the priests to do." In pointing to that event in King David's life, Jesus is making the point that there are times when human need proves the exception to the rule. This is exactly what Jesus meant when he said, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." And then Jesus had an opportunity to illustrate exactly what he meant. Because they were going through the grain fields, they were walking down to the synagogue to worship on this day of rest. And when they got there, this is Mark chapter 3, right after our reading today. When they got there, immediately upon entering, they see a man who's got a withered hand. And, you know, every time I picture the Pharisees in their interactions with Jesus, I picture them with kind of like a scowl on their face and their hands folded. They walk in, they see this man with a withered hand in the synagogue, and right away, even before any words are spoken, you can just see the wheels turning in the Pharisees' heads. They begin to wonder, you know, we know Jesus has this propensity to heal people who are sick or in need, so I wonder what he's going to do. Will he heal this guy? He shouldn't. It's the Sabbath day. He shouldn't be doing any work. But why can't he just wait till tomorrow, Monday, Sunday, to do it? Why can't he wait for that? But Jesus knows what's going on even before things begin to happen. And so before he does anything, he turns to the Pharisees and he asks them another question. Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath? What do you think? In asking that question, this is one of the easiest questions Jesus has ever asked anyone in the Scriptures. Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath? I mean, if you were going to picture this, it's kind of like Jesus the pitcher just tossing a slow underhand pitch right across home plate. All they got to do is swing, and they'll knock it out of the park. But Mark tells us the disciples, or the Pharisees, they remained completely silent. No one said a word. They knew the answer was yes. Yes, of course it's lawful to do good on the Sabbath, but they just couldn't bring themselves to say that. And so in the face of their silence, Jesus turns to the man with the withered hand. He says, "Stretch out your hand." The man stretched out his hand and it was healed. And we're told that from that moment on, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, got together with the Herodians, the political leaders, and they began to plot how they might arrest and kill Jesus. So, in the midst of all of this, what was it that the Pharisees were missing in this discussion about the Sabbath? What would they have maybe seen if they had actually done or been convicted by what Jesus said at the very beginning, at the outset, when he said, "Haven't you read the Scriptures?" What might they have seen differently? I think they might have seen this. The Sabbath day, it wasn't something that originated with Moses and the Ten Commandments. Now, remembering the Sabbath day, it was enshrined there for sure, but it goes much further back than that. It goes all the way back to creation. When Jesus made the statement, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath," another way you can understand this is this question: which came first, mankind or the Sabbath? And it was really tempting to say, which came first, the chicken or the egg? But which came first, mankind or the Sabbath? Which was it? Anybody brave enough to answer? Yeah. Exactly, mankind. In 6 days, God created the heavens and the earth, everything there is. On day six, he created us. On day seven, God rested. He blessed that seventh day as a day of rest. Now, why did God do that? It wasn't because God was tired after all the work in creation that he had done, as if God can grow tired. He rested to set a pattern for you and for me. He rested so that that day, the seventh day of our weeks, might be a blessing for us, not a burden. It was always meant to be that way. And so in all of these conversations Jesus has throughout his 3 years of ministry with the Pharisees about the Sabbath day and the things that you should or you shouldn't do, it's almost like watching an inventor who's sitting down with a group of people and describing why this invention that he's got, why it was made and the proper way to use it and the things that you shouldn't be doing with it. It'd be similar like this if we had the opportunity to have some of the people, the men or women who were just kind of really important in developing a smartphone, you know, come in and talk to us about what it was originally designed for and you know, how we're using it. I imagine it would go kind of similarly. You know, why were these things that we carry with us all the time, why were they invented in the first place? To help us stay connected? To give us happiness, pleasure? They were invented for all of these positive things, and yet what have we done with them? I mean, studies have shown that we haven't become more connected because we've got these cell phones, these smartphones in our pocket. If anything, we've become more disconnected with one another. We're raising a generation of people behind phones who no longer know how to communicate face-to-face in the way our previous generations have. In spite of what you might think, these things that were given as gifts, as tools to increase our connectivity are actually making us more lonely and depressed than we've ever been. I imagine it going the same way with Jesus and this discussion in the Sabbath. The Sabbath was meant to be a blessing. It was a gift from God. And look at how so often we abuse it. This is exactly what the Pharisees were doing. They were making it a burden for the people. A day to look forward to in dread instead of a day to look forward to in anticipation. And in this account in Mark chapter 2, there's actually a hidden message that Jesus is giving, and I wonder if you caught it. It's kind of hidden in that scenario, that event that Jesus points to when he's discussing the Sabbath and why it's okay for his disciples to pick this grain and eat on the Sabbath day. You figure, why did Jesus choose that event? Why did he point back to King David and his breaking of the law and eating the consecrated bread? There are a lot of other passages that Jesus could have gone to. He could have gone to Genesis at the very beginning, like we did just a moment ago, and talk about how God had created the Sabbath from the very beginning as a blessing. But he chose this moment in King David's life. When you dive down and you begin to unpack that moment, see, at this point in David's life, when he went into the house of God and he ate the consecrated bread that was only for the priests, at that point, David wasn't king. Now, he'd been anointed to be the king by the prophet Samuel, but he wasn't the guy sitting on the throne. It was King Saul. And King Saul and David at this point, they were not best of friends. King Saul was hunting David, along with the few followers David had. They were hunting them from place to place in the wilderness, seeking to kill David. This is why he went in to the house of God to eat that bread in the first place, because he had nowhere else to turn. He was hunted from place to place. Now, at some point in David's future, he would sit on the throne, and the knees of all of those men who had been chasing and pursuing him to kill him, they would bow before him, but that day was still to come. And that's the hidden message in this account of this dialogue between Jesus and the Pharisees. Jesus is, in essence, by pointing to that event, in essence, he's saying, I am the greater David, the one who was promised to come. Like David, when he and his men had to go into the sanctuary, the house of God, and eat the consecrated bread, he was on the run. And like David then, Jesus, in that 3 years ministry, he was often on the run from the Pharisees. Hunted by the religious leaders and the political authorities of the day, he had nowhere to lay his head at night, nowhere to call home. He moved from city to city. Now one day, he would climb up and sit down on the throne of God. But that day was in the future, after his death, after his resurrection and his ascension. And when Jesus comes again, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and proclaim him to be the Son of God to the glory of God the Father. But at that point in Jesus' ministry, that day was still to come. When Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath, that was the authority with which he was saying it, as the son of David, the coming king of Israel, the king of the universe. The Sabbath was and still is a blessing, a gift from God, a day of rest, a day when we can both gather for worship, to rest in God's presence, and then gather with our friends and our family. It's a day for us to literally stop worrying about work, to not think about Monday and what's to come, a day to rest in God's presence, and a day to enjoy the families and this creation that God has given us. And so that's why over the course of the summer, you'll hear Pastor Mark and I mention on and off this weekly worship challenge that we're issuing. It's important to honor this day that God has given us as He intended it, as a blessing and not a burden. Now, if weekly worship is something that you do already, that's great. Then my challenge to you is to find someone, a family member or a friend who doesn't have that habit, and encourage them in worship weekly. And if it is a challenge, and I know summer is probably the hardest time you could issue a challenge like this because we travel. Our kids are off on vacation. It's a great time. The weather's nice. You're traveling a lot. If you're away on a weekend, then find another church that you can worship at. You can always bug Pastor Mark or me if you know you're going to a certain town. We'll help you find one. But find a church to worship. Or if you can't do that, then come back on Monday night. The Sabbath day is a blessing. God encourages us to worship together weekly, to come here to receive His blessings of forgiveness, of peace, of comfort, and then to go out from these places of worship and rest and enjoy God's creation and the families and the other gifts that He's given us. In Jesus' name, amen.